Thank you, Mr. Pavlik. Last week I introduced him as our younger elder. I thought maybe he'd come back and greet me as the elder elder. You missed your chance, Mr. Pavlik. Well, good afternoon, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath Services, and welcome to all those on the webcast. I hope you had a good week. I think we had a good one here, at least in our area. We received about 3 inches of rain, and the grass is starting to green a little bit. It actually was getting so bad that I was afraid someone was going to flip a cigarette out the window and catch my lawn on fire. But it's really helped the crops. They're growing much, much better. Look really very, very good. Well, it helped me to remember that, you know what, God is in charge. The rain came. It came in due season. The crops jumped. I think if you just stood in the cornfield, you would have heard it talking all night long after the first rain came. Well, I received an email this week from a friend. He chatted about some things going on in his area. And he closed with, he said, I am just bored out of my mind. I am just bored out of my mind. He was expressing the virus and it being shut in and all the news around the world and all the talk about numbers and conflict in the country and in the world. And Mr. Henderson approached that. In fact, I was beginning to wonder if I should have spoken first the way he started out. Fortunately, he changed gears. But he expressed that he was just born out of his mind with all of it. But God has given us many examples of his power and his love and his word, not only for us, but for his creation. It's very apparent that many deny that there is a God today. We look around and we see the blatant sin. We see the destruction, the hatred, and the stupid shootings that are going on. And it can get us down. Mr. Johnson has spoken about this in various ways. We're not to get bogged down by it or depressed over these trials or events of crime, sin that's all around us. Appears it is getting worse at this time. The news of violence in our cities can also be very depressing. When I heard of the twin boys in Akron that were shot, one died, the other was hospitalized, I don't know what the condition is. We heard of some 3-year-old children, 10-year-old children, 12-year-old children shot and killed. The senseless shootings, the burnings of the buildings, it really, really starts to tear at our hearts. Home invasions, total destruction, sorrow over death and destruction, and it's right to be sorrowful. Mr. Pavlik last week says, but God knows what he's doing. He is still in charge. The chariots are still out on the mountains around us, even if we can't see them. But yet, you know, last evening I opened the paper, reading the obituaries, and there was on the top one that brought tears in my eyes. Baby girl, born asleep. What sorrow these parents must go through with something like that. The sorrow is the same for those who lose their children. But I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to review many of the scriptures for our comfort, our peace, our hope, and our trials that we can find in the Life, Hope, and Truth website. I went right there to the website. I have it marked, so all I have to do is punch a button on mine and it pops up. And I went to the different areas. There's 6 of them for encouraging scriptures. And I hope this will encourage you to turn there also in the future and mark it so that it comes up quickly on your computers if you have one. There are so many terrible events happening, so let's look at some of God's inspired encouragement recorded for us, those of us who are blessed to understand God's truth, to understand his word and know that he has a plan. Mr. Henderson went over that. He gave us some very good points that we need to ponder also. But under the heading of comfort, Psalms 23, starting in verse 4. I think this probably was the first memory scripture I ever had. Probably started to learn that at age 6. But in Psalms 23, verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus Christ is known as the Good Shepherd. The shepherd carries a staff. He has that staff that has a crook on it. He uses that to lift, to lift a lamb or a sheep that's gone down. He uses the other end, the sharp point, to beat off animals of prey, to protect his sheep. And that's what God and Jesus Christ do for us. He's there to protect us. He's over us. He's watching over us. He's aware of our needs. He knows us inside and out better probably than we know ourselves. It goes on in verse 5, says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over." We have so many, many blessings. As God's truth reigns supreme in our lives, those blessings are endless. And when we look around in this country, I know after talking to a minister from Africa at one of the conferences and walking into a Walmart, I just can't imagine what they go through in some of those countries. But you know, if it comes to this country, we're going to need them to show us how to live. Because we have so much, so much. And as a nation, we don't appreciate it. We're blowing it away through our sins as a nation. We have so very much. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That is a promise that God has made to every one of us. He's called and opened our eyes. And eventually, as Mr. Henderson touched on, everyone who's ever lived will have that opportunity. What a fantastic, priceless blessing God has opened to us. And he'll eventually open it to the world. Psalms 30, just a few pages over, verse 5. This is under comfort. "For his anger," Psalms 30, verse 5, "but his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Each day brings new life." Each day is a new day. We can't do a thing about what happened yesterday, what happened last week or last year. It's in the past, and we have to leave it there. Our future lies ahead. And today is enough days that we need to worry right here for this day. We need to learn to take it one day at a time, yet with our eyes focused on the kingdom, focused on God's word going forward. Matthew 5, verse 4. You might not want to have to turn there because it is a very short one, but Matthew 5 and verse 4 said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." I'll tell you, I mourn for those families that lost their children. I mourn for the people who are going through such heavy trials. They've lost their businesses. They've lost their income. Mr. Britt Taylor in the Inaccord talked about the people who have left Australia or New Zealand. Name of the minister right now is out of my head, unfortunately. I didn't write it down. Yes, Tim Waddle and his wife. They came over here, and I believe it was end of February, 1st of March. And they may not be able to go home till next year because New Zealand's closed the borders, even though they have a home there. And there's many people who have left New Zealand, and they can't go back home, but they have the expenses of their house, their car payments, all the things back home, and they still have no income where they're at now, and they have to pay for some way to live. Something more for us to pray about, isn't it? Fortunately, I think Mr. and Mrs. Waddle are working for the church yet. I'm sure they are. They're at headquarters. They're probably working with all different programs there, keeping busy. But so many of them have left and can't get there. We thought our daughter was going to come up from Texas and visit us, so we're not so sure that's going to happen. Texas is the hot spot. It's a possibility they will not be allowed in. If they do, it'll have to be a two-week quarantine. This is still under comfort. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. One of the biggest problems I think going on in the big cities right now with all the destruction and all the wanting things tore down and wanting things changed is pride. People think they're so important. I think that's one of the reasons for this road rage. They said on the news the other day, there was two ladies with their children in the car, and some woman pulled up beside them, started arguing with them, pointed a gun at them, and fired the gun. Fortunately, they caught her, as long as two other guys that did shootings with road rage. And quite frankly, from a personal note, I hope they burn them good. I think a lot of these people need to be put into a work program on bread and water for about 6 months and teach them how to live and teach them that they don't have anything coming to them. They don't deserve anything, just like we don't. We didn't deserve being called, but God called us. And he called us to a purpose, to learn and grow so that we can teach in the future. And hopefully he'll take that out of me that says that I feel they ought to be flogged and put in prison or a work program. Maybe that's wrong. I'm not so sure it is. But they need to be re-educated, and that'll come, and that'll come. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. Verse 29, Matthew 11. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we live day by day, depending on God, doing what we should, what we must, obeying God. He will be there for us. Anytime we need him, he'll be there. And he's ready at all times. All we have to do is ask. Turn to him. We're getting ads on TV right now. Call 911 for help. Will it be there? This is all part of this, unfortunately, this program of politics is going on. But you know what? We don't need to pick up the phone. We don't need to. All we need to do is drop to our knees and pray and ask God for the protection and guidance, and he'll give it to us. We need to ask for wisdom. He'll give it to us. His word says that. Let's go on into 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Another blessing of comfort God gives us. It says, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We're told to be ready to give an answer. Part of that answer could be just comforting someone as they face a trial that's just tearing them apart, whether it be loss of a loved one, whether it be loss of their business or their home. We need to be ready to be able to comfort them, to talk with them, to help them. Under protection. Now, there's several more under comfort. I only pulled a few from 4 out of the 6 areas. But I thought it's something that I hope will encourage you to do the same, to look to that, to help put the trials and the problems of daily life out of our minds and keep our eyes focused on God's truth and the plan that he has set before us. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 14. Exodus 14, starting in verse 13, under protection. And this is a scripture that it hits me, what Moses said to the people coming out of Egypt when they're standing at the edge of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army held back by the flame of fire, the cloud of fire. Moses said in verse 13, Exodus 14, Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. You know, he said, Stand still. Have patience. Depend on me like I want you to do. Look to me. I'm the only power that you really have. Stand still and see what I'm going to do for you, he says. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. If we were to look at the history of this country, approximately 240 years, and look at the trillions and trillions of dollars that have been spent on warfare, and the millions of lives have been lost on warfare. And yet, as a nation, if we had properly honored God, properly obeyed God, he said, I would have fought for you. I would have fought for you. I'm there. And he'll fight for you and I if we ask him and if we're obediently obeying him. Yes, we're going to go through trials and tribulations. Mr. Henderson talked about that. And there are health trials coming up. Believe me, as you get over 70, the body just seems to start to fall apart. But you know what? With God's help, you travel on. And the day will come when you get the rest that he's promised. But we need to be depending on God at all times, looking to God at all times. He's there. He wants us to call upon him. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save enemies, to save you. He will fight for you. He goes before you against your enemies. It doesn't matter where we're at or who we're facing. God is with us if we're depending on him. Get as dry behind that mask as I do. You understand why I needed that. Excuse me. 2 Samuel 22, verses 3 and 4. This is words of David when he was rescued from his enemies. 2 Samuel 22, 3 and 4. David said, verse 3, 2 Samuel 22, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn, my salvation and my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior, you saved me from violence. I will call upon you, Eternal, one who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Our enemies could be in any shape or form. This coronavirus certainly is an enemy to the world at this time. The despots who are running some of these governments that Mr. Henderson talked about, they're certainly enemies to the world and maybe to us in the future. Jacob's troubles, I don't know if they're upon us yet, but they're prophesied to come. And when they do, we'll be facing enemies. But God is there to fight for us. He promises a place of safety. I kind of think at some point, someone my age, it may be the grave, I don't know. But he has it planned out. He'll work it out. We can trust in that. We know it's the truth because God's word is truth. Psalm 17, verse 7 and 8. Psalm 17, verse 7 and 8. Another scripture that God has set there in his word for us. We can read these and read them and read them. And they're in our heads, but I'll tell you, at 78 years old, they don't come back out as easily as they used to. So it's good to review them. I find it on a daily basis to go through the Bible programs that are out there, the correspondent, not the one from Life, Hope, and Truth, the Bible reading, and the one that has the Bible in actual sequence. And I also have a program on my computer, which I read that from, but it also has verses every day, anywhere from 10 to 15 for morning and 10 to 15 for evening. So it's a good thing to review them. It helps keep them alive in our head. But they still don't come back out as good as they should. But in 17 of Psalms, verse 7, it says, show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. And of course, you probably know, I've used it twice, I see that, it reminds me of that grouse that was found by the firefighter after a forest fire. And she was dead, and when he flipped her over underneath her, she protected her chicks. They were still alive. You know, we're under God's wing. We're in God's hands. He said, I'm holding you tightly. No one can take me out of your hands. Only you or I can jump out. If we're doing what God wants us to do, we're in his hand. He's there for us. Psalms 34, verse 19. In these different areas, underneath some of these scriptures are our stories. This one has 100. I pulled just two paragraphs or three paragraphs out of it. But I'll let you search it out. Maybe you can find out who the author was of it. Our ministers have several of these written into these programs. I only used two or three of them, but I thought they were useful and probably worded better than I can word them. But Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him out of them all. The Bible reveals that God's people are currently living in a world under the sway of the wicked one, 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And that is this temporary physical life as a training ground for a wonderful eternity in God's family. In order to become like our Father, we must resist the devil and endure the trials and the challenges. Mr. Henderson touched on that. They're there for our growth. They help us to learn. They help us to get the rough edges off and maybe get the little bit of anger or the animosity towards those who destroy it out of my life. But thankfully, God has our back. He will deliver us from these afflictions. We must ask for that deliverance. We must learn the lessons and develop the patience that our trials can bring. Under peace, we'll turn to Proverbs 16, verse 7. Under peace, let's turn to Proverbs 16, verse 7. It's probably the writings of Solomon are recorded of some things he'd said. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. We must please God at all times as best we can. And will we? No. No. Only one was perfect. That was Jesus Christ. We all sin, fall short of the glory of God. But thanks to our Savior, Jesus Christ, he paid that penalty, and we can be forgiven when we properly repent. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. When we trust in God, have we developed that inner peace as we grow? We should. Paul said he was content. He was content if he had much or if he had little. We need to develop that contentment. The day may come when we have little. We have abundance now in many ways. Toilet paper may still be in short supply, but food as a whole is not at this time. John 14, 27. 14, 27, John. Christ speaking here, he said, the peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Bible says if we have fear, we lack faith. We need to be building that faith and growing in faith as we learn God's way and as we live it. That was John 16, 33. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Once again, this probably is a familiar verse to us. It says, be anxious for nothing, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. He expects us to ask. He expects us to ask. But he also expects us to pray and to seek his will and his way with thanksgiving. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. This also has a paragraph after it or two. It says, one of the greatest human desires is for peace. Peace between nations, peace between neighbors, and peace within our minds. Yet our experience confirms the biblical assessment, the way of peace they have not known, Romans 3:17. Acting in a way that leads to true and lasting peace is not part of our human nature, human tendencies, part of our natural human tendencies. Instead, the Apostle Paul wrote that our human nature leads to hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions and dissensions, and murders, Galatians 5, 20 and 21. In contrast, those who are baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit can have access to a new nature that allows us to grow in the fruit of peace. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Once again, I'm sure it's a memory verse. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-sufferings or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. What is peace? The word Paul used here is a Greek word, which if I was to pronounce it, would probably say it was Irene or Irene or something similar to that, but it's actually spelled E-I-R-E-N-E. E-I-R-E-N-E. It's a Greek word. The word includes the meaning peace between individuals, harmony, or concord. There's Greek lexicon. So source of that. Peace includes calm, harmonious, absence of conflict that this world has never known. There may have been isolated times and places where conflict has halted for a time, but real world peace has never been seen, and it won't be till Christ returns and sets up the government of God. Now, I was meditating on this and trying to think, where in the Bible did it list a time of peace of any length? And I think the greatest one I can think of was under Solomon. I think he reigned 40-some years, and they said during his reign he had peace. But I went to Wikipedia and looked up the war. The war is going on. The conflict's going on. As of May 2020, there are three major wars with 10,000-plus deaths in a current or past calendar year. There are three wars with 1,000 to 999 deaths in the present or past calendar year. There are six minor conflicts with 100 to 99 deaths. 14 skirmishes and clashes with 10 to 99 deaths. So those who talk about skirmishes or clashes or conflicts in some of our big cities, we're seeing deaths in the hundreds each year. It's a war zone. It's a war zone. Will peace come? We know it well when Christ returns. Will it come before that? We don't know. We need to look to God. We need to ask him for his guidance. We need to pray for those people who are so confused and so mixed up in their thinking that they feel they have the right to destroy anything, to rewrite history, to shoot and kill and maim. We need to be praying for them. Mr. Henderson talked about that. They are our enemies. They're enemies of society. Our prayers may avail much if we do that. With this pandemic taking up most of the news, I have not heard of any of these conflicts or wars, as they're called. We can rest assured that the deaths, whether from a clash or a major war, brought the same heartache to those who lost loved ones. The same heartache, whether it was a minor clash, whether it was a shooting in the streets or war, from a bomb being dropped. And heartaches are out there, brethren. Arctics are out there, and they can touch us. I think one of the reasons I went this route today, less than half a mile from us, a 23-year-old took their life this past week. And then I read about that baby last night, read about the shootings of children, and I said, you know what, maybe it's time we switch gears and we look to God's Word, that we look to Him for the peace and the joy and the hope that He set before us. And it's here in His verses. It's here in His Scriptures. And I'd encourage you to turn to Him on a regular basis to help push this other stuff out of your heads. We need that. We all need that. It's all right for us to grieve. To grieve of the deaths and the injuries, that we know that those folks will have their chance for eternal life. No one will be lost. They all have their chance at the second resurrection. And we need to grieve and we need to sorrow. It's natural. But not like those who don't know the truth. Yes, we should grieve for them. Yes, we should. But not with the screaming sorrow that some of them are going to come out with, because they don't know there's another life. They don't understand that God has set up a program that all who ever lived will have that opportunity. Yes, some will deny it. Some will say, I'm not interested, and they'll go to the lake of fire. But at Christ's return, there will be joy and peace upon this earth. His word promises that. The next one I went to was hope. Hope. Psalm 16, verse 19. We all need to have hope in our lives. Psalm 16, verse 19 says, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. And Psalms 119, 114 says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And that's what I want to encourage us to do, is turn to these encouraging scriptures. That was Psalms 119, 114. I want you to turn to these scriptures to develop that hope and that peace and that inner peace and that inner joy, because God's word is ever before our eyes and ever present in our heads. That promise of eternal life, that promise of seeing. It's been 50 years this year since my mom and dad were killed. I pray for that day when they'll be resurrected. I hope to be able to see them. Many aunts and uncles. You know, we talked about peace a minute ago. Just come back to my mind. Those of you who were born after 1970 don't realize the peace that this country had back in the early 50s and late 40s. Now, Mr. Henderson, I don't think I fully believe your statement that you weren't around when that program was on. I know that you aren't that much younger than me, and I used to listen to that program. But I can think back to visiting aunts and uncles who were elderly at the farms out in western Ohio, sitting under a shade tree in the afternoon, visiting with them and listening to the stories. And the kids playing in the yard, riding their bikes out in the roads. There were back roads, yes, but they were out of their parents' sight. They didn't have to worry. We had a time of peace and a time of joy that anybody born after 1970, I don't think they can realize what we had. And unfortunately, we're not being taught the history in the schools. And I think that's one of the reasons we have so much uprising. This world is filled with violence. At one time, it wasn't. Oh, it's always had problems ever since the Garden of Eden. But there have been times when families could live without the doors being locked. Believe it or not, we had cars back in the late 40s, early 50s that didn't even have a key. You could just turn a knob and start it and drive it. Never locked it. Never locked their doors. We had a time of peace. That time will come again. That time will come again. God has promised it. Verse 147, verse 11. Chapter 147, verse 11 of Psalms. Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him and those who hope in His mercy. Now, what does fear mean? Fear of God. What does the fear of God mean? When the Bible refers to the fear of the Lord, it means having a deep respect, a reverence, and an awe for God's power and authority, rather than causing someone to be afraid of God. A proper fear of the Lord leads one to love him. Proper fear of the Lord. The day will come when every knee will bow to Jesus Christ, but it'll be out of reverence and love, not out of fear. Not the type of fear where your knees knock together, your hands shake, your eyes water, and you perspire profusely. That's not the fear he's talking about. It's a deep respect and honor. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Isaiah 9, verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Many prophecies in Isaiah and the Old Testament prophets describe a time after Jesus Christ's return when the kingdom of God and its benefits will spread around the globe. God's government and laws are for the good of the governed and produce peace and justice. The positive effects of obeying God's laws will snowball and increase without an end. People will be able to sit under their own vine and fig tree, children playing in the streets, not have to worry about abductions, kidnappings, and shootings. What a time that will be. Certainly we should be praying for that day to come, as a prayer in Matthew tells us. Micah 4, verse 4. Next one is in Micah 4, verse 4. And I just referred to it. "But everyone shall sit under his vine and under the fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." His word is truth. It is absolute. It's going to happen. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on God. When the time is right, he'll tell Jesus Christ, "Return. Bind Satan. Get that evil out of my world. Bring peace. Bring joy. Start the re-education and rebuilding process." That's our future. That's what's ahead for us. Isaiah 33, 21 and 22. I'm going to read it in the Living Testament. And follow along if you'd like. Mr. Henderson read several in Phillips and other areas. I know that others like to use other translations, but this is the New Living Translation. Isaiah 33, verses 21 and 22. "The Lord will be our mighty one. He will be like a wide river of protection that no enemy can cross, that no enemy ship can sail upon." Verse 22, "For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, our King. He will care for us and he will save us." Verse 34, chapter 35, 1 through 10. This is almost the final, I guess it is about the final scripture I had down. This is in the New Living Testament also. 1 through 10, it's the full chapter of Isaiah 35. It says, "Even the wilderness and the desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses." Down in Texas comes springtime. Dan and Pam Weitzel, by the way, asked me to say hello to you folks. But in the springtime down there, Dan and Pam have taken pictures and sent them up to us of the bluebonnets and the red flower, and I can't think of what that one is. It might be Hal Henderson probably knows. He's shaking his head yes. But they're just gorgeous. They're just all over the barren hills. They just come up and bloom. They're beautiful. Well, God says the desert's going to be like that. That's what the desert's going to be. There won't be the barren wasteland that we have now. It's going to be beautiful. "Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel, as the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God." With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands. Encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, "Be strong. Do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you, And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and weeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived. And the great road will go a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along that course, nor any ferocious beasts. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Eternal will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. What a picture that paints for us, for you, for I, for all who God will call or has called. A time of joy, a time of peace, a time of abundance, a time of singing, a time of beauty, with flowers, with things set in order the way God intended, probably very much like it was in the Garden of Eden. What a priceless gift God has given us. I encourage you, turn to these scriptures. Turn to these encouraging scriptures. Go over them on a regular basis. Allow them to lift your spirits and get your mind off the terrible things going on in this world today. Have a great Sabbath.